Welcome, everyone, to a brand new edition of Learn About World Cuisine, the show that takes you on a culinary tour around the world. Today will be nothing but fun facts about the Great Wall of China. And then at the end of the program, I'm going to give you fun facts about Chinese food, Chinese cuisine. And I want to preface this episode by telling you that if you go to your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and many more, I've already done a few shows that gave fun facts about Chinese cuisine. So today I'm just going to try to cover the fun facts about Chinese cuisine that I have not already covered in other episodes. So if you go to your favorite podcast platform, subscribe to Learn About World Cuisine, but you'll see I've done a few shows that give fun facts about Chinese cuisine. So at the end of this program, we're going to give fun facts about Chinese cuisine that I have not covered in other episodes. So let's get started. The Great Wall of China gets over 10 million visitors every year. The Great Wall of China is the longest man-made structure in the entire world. But before we get rolling, I want to make sure everyone understands that the Great Wall of China is not a continuous wall. I always thought it was. It is several walls that were built over a 2,000-year history. Okay, it was built for mainly for military defense, but because the walls were built over a 2,000-year period, there are several walls. And some of the walls of the Great Wall of China are very popular. We're going to talk about that later in the episode. But there are some walls that were built that are very huge tourist attractions. So the one thing I want to get across is that the Great Wall of China, much to my surprise, are several walls, not just one wall. I always thought it was one continuous wall. It is not. Okay, and it took over 2,000 years to build those walls. And the walls of China are over 13,000 miles long. And the Great Walls of China is considered one of the greatest man-made structures in history. And like I said, it was basically built for security purposes, but it has had other benefits such as border protection, etc. Over the years, there have been a lot of battles that have taken place at the Great Walls of China. Okay, but since it is not a continuous wall, and it is several walls, one of the battles they had many centuries ago, they just simply went around the wall. The army went around the wall to do the battle. So, I just want to make sure everyone understands, because I didn't understand. I actually thought it was one wall. It is several walls that were built over a 2,000-year period. I think that some of the specifics of the history of the Great Walls of China, I think they're a little bit more on the boring side. So this episode will focus just on fun facts. The average height of the walls at the Great Wall of China are about 20 to 23 feet. The tallest wall out of all the walls at the Great Walls of China is 46 feet tall. The average width of the walls of the Great Walls of China is 13 to 16 feet wide. The construction of the Great Walls of China is said to have begun in the year 700 BC. Wow. So they started building walls for security in 700 BC. In the over 2,000 years that it took to build the Great Walls of China, it is said to have over a million workers working on it. Now, let me get this across, too. There were times in history where the emperors would have people that were in jail work on the Great Walls of China. So they would take their incarcerated prisoners and have them work on the walls. Another thing I want to touch on is it's not on the script till later, but I just want to say this. What I found fascinating is that people don't realize when you have a man-made structure that starts all the way back in 700 BC, there was no cement. I mean, think about that. There was no cement in 700 BC when they started building the walls. So it is said that the bricks were stuck together with a mixture of rice flour, and that rice flour mixture created a cement-like substance. All right. The collapse of the Ming Dynasty in the year 1644 saw the ending of the building of the Great Wall of China. There was a false report many years ago. Now, this is interesting. All right. There is a false report that many people believe in regards to the Great Walls of China that you can see them from outer space. And I just want to let you know, based upon the research I've done and several websites, it is false. You cannot see the Great Walls of China from space, but that is one of the biggest myths in regards to this topic. If you're planning to visit the Great Walls of China, keep in mind that there are some sections that have hundreds upon hundreds of steps, but they do have a cable car to help you go up. It is said that about one-third of the Great Walls of China is in ruins today. How about that? Now, it has become such an incredible tourist attraction that the Chinese government is actually funding to restore parts of the wall. I was actually surprised to learn that there are as many as 50 million people that have visited the most popular sections of the wall. That is how much tourism the Great Walls of China gets. UNESCO recognizes the Great Walls of China as a World Heritage Site back in 1987. All right. So it was a mixture of rice flour that held the bricks together back in 700 BC. And it's something you don't think about when you're talking about man-made structures that are centuries old. There was no cement. So it was a mixture of rice flour that held the bricks together. The walls of the Great Walls of China, as I mentioned, gets roughly over 10 million visitors per year. But there was a certain section of the walls that had over 45 million visitors in one year at one time. The Great Walls of China were very popular during the Ming Dynasty. As I said before, the main purpose was for military protection. But they also benefit in other ways, such as border security. Even though the Great Walls of China, now this is interesting. I thought this was fascinating. Some of the Great Walls of China are lit up at night, okay? But it's only the more popular sections of the wall. But I was shocked to learn that they light them up at night. There are lights. But that is only for the popular sections. All right. During the 60s and 70s, it was a very popular trend where people would steal bricks from the Great Walls of China And they would use it to do construction of their own property. I found that interesting. So it was between the 60s and the 70s. It was popular to go to the Great Walls of China and steal bricks and use them for your own man-made project. I found that pretty interesting. They had no regulations. I found this interesting. There were no regulations from the government in regards to the wall until 2006. So it was basically do what you want. They didn't really realize that the wall was such a great tourist attraction until 2006, and that's when they put things in place that stopped people from doing stuff like that. But in the 60s and 70s, it was popular for people to go to the Great Walls of China and just steal bricks. Over 300 heads of states and VIPs have visited the Great Walls of China. Because the walls were built mainly for military purposes, there are holes for people to shoot their guns through the wall. Now, here's another thing you're going to read if you do research on the Great Walls of China. There have been several workers who have died building it. So it was given the nickname the largest cemetery in the entire world. There are estimates of over 1 million people dying building the Great Wall of China. So I found that fascinating. One of the reasons why the Great Walls of China is famous is it is considered one of the seven greatest construction wonders of the world. Think about this. These are man-made walls that started being built in 700 BC. They literally used rice flour mix to keep the bricks together, because cement wasn't even invented. So there's a fun fact. Nobody has any idea how many bricks were used to build the Great Walls of China. However, there is an estimate of over 3 billion bricks. Right. Now, United States, now most of my listeners that listen to this show are international. So if you're listening from the United States, keep in mind that I have to be mindful of the large majority of my audience being international and not from the United States. So you're going to see me explain things and you're going to wonder why am I going that way. That's because a lot of my audience is international. So here's what I'm talking about. United States President, former President, Richard Nixon, visited China in 1972 with a historical visit, and that increased people's interest in Chinese cuisine and Chinese culture, and that was the start of the popularity of the Great Wall of China. The Chinese invented the wheelbarrow. Did you know that? That our great friends in China invented the wheelbarrow, and that played a huge role in building sections of the wall. There are many watchtowers throughout the Great Wall of China, and they were used for military purposes. The last battle fought at the Great Wall was in 1938. They also have numerous temples that were built along the walls. The most visited section of the Great Walls of China is close to Beijing. In 2004, over 45 million international tourists visited a certain section of the wall. Wow, that's incredible. The Great Walls of China has become so popular, especially over the last 60 years, that currently the Chinese government is trying to preserve the more popular segments of the wall. The wall was built by over 7 different Chinese dynasties. I'll tell you what. I just think that the Great Walls of China is a fascinating topic. It is built in, you know, it was built over a 2,000-year period. It is considered one of the greatest man-made structures in human history. So I think we covered it. I think we gave you the fun facts. Keep in mind, there's a ton of historical facts in regards to the Great Wall, but I like to just give fun facts on this show. I just point out the stuff that's interesting to me and that I think my audience would enjoy. So I think we covered it. We're 16 minutes into the show. I think we did a great job covering the fun facts about the Great Walls of China. So let's move on to fun facts about Chinese cuisine. And as I said before, I have about a couple episodes on the podcast platform that already gave you a ton of fun facts about Chinese cuisine. So today I just want to try to cover the fun facts that I did not cover in those episodes. Keep in mind, a podcast lasts forever. So you can listen to 193 more episodes of this program at any time you want. So I have covered Chinese cuisine a couple times. So today we're going to try to cover the fun facts about Chinese cuisine that I have not covered in the other episodes. The first Chinese immigrants to settle in Manhattan was in the year 1800. And you'll find out why New York and California are very important when it comes to Chinese cuisine. And we'll explain that in a little while. In 1849, the California Gold Rush brought a lot of Chinese immigrants to California. And once again, I'll explain why this is important in a few minutes. In 1896, chop suey was created and became the first popular American Chinese dish. Chinese restaurants started to become popular in America in 1920. Here's an interesting stat. In 1985, there were over 30,000 Chinese restaurants in the United States. In the year 2016, there were over 45,000 Chinese restaurants in the United States. And I'm going to explain. Let me say this off the bat. If you were to take somebody who was born and raised in China and has eaten authentic Chinese cuisine all of their life, and you were to bring them to a Chinese restaurant in America or the UK or anywhere else around the world, or in America, you will find out that they would not recognize most of the menu. And why is that? The reason that is because most of the more popular Chinese dishes that you see in America on the menu were created by Chinese immigrants in America. They are not authentically Chinese. It is mind-boggling the amount of Chinese food on your Chinese restaurant menu that was created in America by immigrants, okay? So if you were to take somebody that was born and raised in China and has eaten authentic Chinese food, they would not recognize most of the menu at a Chinese restaurant in America. So that's one thing I want to preface in this episode. Now, why is that important? That's important because a lot of your famous Chinese food in America today were created in California. That's why I told you California and New York have played a pivotal role in the creation of most of the very famous Chinese dishes. So let's get started. Chinese cuisine dates back thousands of years and is said to be one of the healthiest and most popular cuisines in the entire world. The word dim sum in Cantonese means touch your heart. Fruits and cakes are the most common Chinese desserts, and a lot of times you'll get fruit as a dessert. Soups and tofu are very popular in Chinese cuisine. Now, here's what I was talking about. Fortune cookies were invented in California. Okay, so fortune cookies were actually invented in America. All right. There is a story about a Japanese restaurant owner who used to give cookies with thank you notes in them. But the actual modern day fortune cookie was invented in California. Rice is a staple food in Chinese cuisine, and they eat roughly 4 bowls of rice per day in China. Many authentic Chinese dishes include animal parts that most of the world wouldn't even touch, but the Chinese believe to not waste anything. So there are parts of the animal that they eat regularly in China that most people would not even think of. Many Chinese dishes are said to bring good luck, such as long noodles symbolize a long life. You can cook many Chinese dishes in multiple ways, such as steaming and frying. So people say that you rarely eat the same exact meal twice in China because you can make it several different ways. Chopsticks have been used to cook and eat in China for over 5,000 years. And that is because symbolism plays a major role in Chinese culture. And the Chinese believe that forks and knives are symbolize weapons. So that is why Chinese cuisine uses chopsticks. And that is because the symbolism for weapons is a fork and a knife. So they use chopsticks. China is the largest producer and consumer of rice in the entire world. The most popular beverage in China is tea. That did not surprise me. I love going to a Chinese restaurant and getting their tea. Hot pot is a popular communal dining experience in China. And you're starting to see a lot of hot pot restaurants opening up in America. In Chinese culture, it is said to believe that certain foods bring health benefits. And a lot of food, the Chinese cuisine, in Chinese culture, they believe that a lot of food is medicine. And I'll give an example. They believe that a lot of food can be consumed as a medicine. And I'll give an example. Garlic, I believe, aids in digestion. How about that? I forgot to write the word. I believe it's ginger or garlic aids in digestion. But a lot of people in Chinese culture believe that food is medicine and that you can heal your body with food. When attending a banquet or a large gathering in China, keep in mind that a Chinese celebration or banquet can include up to 12 courses of food. Wow. A lot of food in China has symbolism, such as oranges are said to bring good luck. And that is probably why most of the Chinese restaurants I have been to have given me a slice of orange on one of my plates. Street food. Now, we mentioned this several times on this show. There are areas around the world where people will go to just for the street food. Like, the street food is second to none. And China is one of those places. So street food in China is supposed to be delicious. And it is said that the street food in China is very popular. Keep in mind that there are plenty of dishes in Chinese cuisine that are not spicy. Some people correspond Chinese cuisine to spice. That is not true. Chinese cuisine is the most popular cuisine in the entire world. And as I have said before, if you were to go and have someone that was raised in China and has eaten authentic Chinese food all their life, and you were to take them to an American restaurant, they would not recognize half the menu. And that is because most of the most popular dishes were created in America by Chinese immigrants. In fact, there are dishes on Chinese restaurant menus in America that have vegetables that aren't even grown in China. They don't even have those vegetables. So that is something I found fascinating. Since they mainly use chopsticks in China, a lot of the food served in the restaurants are bite-sized so that it makes it easier to use the chopsticks. The chefs in the restaurants of China are very proud of their presentation, so it is common for a tourist to go to a restaurant in China and be blown away by their presentation of the dish. So the dishes can become incredibly great-looking because they take a lot of pride in presentation. The first time Chinese food was seen in America was in California in the mid-1800s. That's why I said at the beginning, California and New York play a major role in the creation of a lot of popular Chinese dishes. As we go through the episode, you're going to learn that more about that. There are more Chinese restaurants in America than Wendy's and McDonald's combined. One of the reasons that Chinese food became so popular in America was due to Richard Nixon, former president of the United States, his visit to China. Now, this did not surprise me whatsoever. The most popular day for people to order Chinese food in America is on Christmas Day. That doesn't surprise me at all because I'm one of the people that do that. So it is very popular on Christmas Day to order Chinese food in America. The famous Chinese takeout container was invented in Chicago. Like I said, a lot of your popular Chinese food was created in America, and the takeout container that you get, the white container at your Chinese restaurant, was invented in Chicago. Getting duck sauce with your order, with your takeout order, or your delivery order at a Chinese restaurant is mainly an American East Coast thing. They do not do that in China, and they do not give duck sauce packets on the West Coast as often as the East Coast. A lot of people correspond Chinese cuisine with MSG. Keep in mind that MSG is an actual flavor booster. So you're eating MSG and other items that you don't even realize. Okay? MSG is a flavor booster that is in many products, and you just don't realize it. It's not just Chinese food. The translation for the word chop suey means leftovers. Most Chinese food, okay, egg rolls are said to have been invented in New York, and crab rangoon was invented in America. Now, the reason they invented egg rolls is because they were invented in New York, And that is because they wanted to copy and do something different with Chinese spring rolls. So I want to make it clear, egg rolls are an Americanized Chinese dish. Spring rolls are not. All right. A lot of this stuff, I don't know why I wrote twice. I apologize. I'm just going through it. All right. I already said that. National Egg Roll Day is June the 10th. So be sure to get yourself an egg roll on June the 10th because that is National Egg Roll Day in America. All right. And I think the one thing I want to get across to everyone is how important of a role California and New York played in the Americanized Chinese cuisine. So, like I told you, a lot of your most famous Chinese food in an American Chinese restaurant were created by Chinese immigrants to America, and they are not authentically Chinese. If you were to take a person that grew up in China all their life and they lived on authentic Chinese cuisine, they would probably not recognize most of the American Chinese restaurant menu. And that is because New York and California, the immigrants that came in from China, created a lot of those menu items. I'll give you one example. Orange chicken, which is a very popular dish in America, that was actually created by a chef at Panda Express in America. So keep in mind, I have a few other episodes on the podcast platform that cover fun facts about Chinese food. Today's episode, I just wanted to cover what I haven't already covered. So if you go to your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, look up Learn About World Cuisine, subscribe to the show, but go through my archives. I have 193 episodes, and I have done a couple episodes with fun facts about Chinese food. So today I wanted to cover the fun facts that weren't already covered on the podcast platform. So I think we had a great show today. We talked about the Great Walls of China. I think the most interesting thing to me, and you can call me silly, but I had no idea. I always thought the Great Walls of China was one continuous wall. I already did, until I wrote this show, I always thought that the Great Walls of China was one continuous wall. And as we learned today, it is not. There are several walls that were built over a 2,000-year history. So I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Keep in mind, this show is just done for fun. Okay, nobody's making any money. I just enjoy doing the research, and I love sharing it with my audience. So we're only doing this for fun. This is not a political show. This show is done 100% for fun. Okay, there are people that take the show a little bit too seriously. This show is just being done for fun. I enjoy doing the research, and I enjoy getting the feedback from the listeners. If you would like to give me your questions or comments, send in. Go to my website, Philly, Philly, restaurant, restaurant, reviews, reviews.com. PhillyRestaurantReviews.com. The first page of my website will allow you to send me a comment, and I'll get your comment within 2 minutes. So go to the website, send me a comment on the front page. If you have an area of the world that you would like me to cover, just ask me. Go to my website, and I will cover that area of the world. I've already got 193 episodes on the platform. I pretty much have covered every major tourist attraction in the world. But we're going to keep rolling. And we're going to keep going. Each week, you're going to find a new area of the world that I'm going to cover. And we're going to start talking about fun facts about the cuisine in that area. And we're going to talk about fun facts of the location. If you're a new listener, be sure to subscribe to the show. If you subscribe to the show, you'll get basically a text message telling you when a new show is produced. If you're a new listener, keep in mind that every Thursday morning is when a new episode drops. So if it's 10 a.m. on a Thursday morning on the East Coast of America, look for a new episode. If you live internationally, most of the listeners to this show are international. Just keep checking your podcast platform on Thursday. So I want to thank everyone for joining me. Please go to your favorite podcast platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or any other of the other major podcast platforms, and subscribe to the show. I thought today's episode was very, very informative. And as always, if it's Thursday morning, it's time for you to check your favorite podcast platform or PhillyRestaurantReviews.com for a brand new episode of the Learn About World Cuisine podcast. I will talk to everyone next Thursday.